You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. For our guest, getting to the major leagues has had its ups and downs from AAA, literally. There was a time he wanted to walk away from the game, but was persuaded not to. Good thing for him and the St. Louis Cardinals. He's having his best season in the big leagues, and this despite overcoming a litany of injuries and a degenerative eye condition. We welcome to the show a study in persistence, Tommy Pham of the St. Louis Cardinals. So great to have you with me. Thank you so much for your time. You have gone through so much adversity.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just life. You know, I feel like everyone has their story.
If you would, talk about all the injuries that you've had to overcome.
Two shoulder surgeries, I tore a ligament in my wrist in 2011, trying to rob a home run. I broke my wrist in 2010, late in the year. Quad tear, oblique tear, you know, I've had my share. The only bad part about it was just, I say the shoulder and the wrist injuries, because it was when I was starting to figure things out in the upper minor leagues, you know, and it was kind of unfortunate, bad timing.
When it's happening over and over again, do you start to think to yourself, boy, I'm just snake bit. This is unbelievable. If I could only just get out on the field, I could show people what I could do.
Two of the injuries occurred from, I got hit in the wrist. That's kind of hard to control. Robbing a home run, that was unfortunate. You know, there was a concrete fence behind the home run fence. So, you know, it was mostly my athleticism there making a play, which most people can't make. One shoulder injury occurred from diving, making a play. You know, they were all, most of them in the minors were from making plays that were, that weren't normal. Average plays, you know, they were, you know, web gym plays. So, I mean, when I looked at it like that, it's a little different.
You spent most of the last two seasons in the major leagues, but you've spent parts of the last 4 years at AAA Memphis. And in preparing for this interview, I read that you had told a couple of friends that you were considering walking away from the game. I can't imagine what the frustration was like for you to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, this year I was demoted out of spring training, you know, and I felt like I've done enough at this level to, you know, warrant the job, you know, but I had an option left, and it's part of the system, you know, they used the option on me and sent me down, and, I wasn't happy about that at all. You know, I was very disappointed in the team. You know, when you look at reality, the team actually gave up on me. And, you know, I went down in AAA with nothing other than just playing for myself. And that's what I did. I went down there and just made sure my numbers were good enough to keep a job. And sure enough, the only reason why I'm up here is because another guy got hurt. So it gave me an opportunity to come up here and play, and I haven't looked back since.
And as you said, Stephen Piscotty got hurt, Dexter Fowler got hurt, and back-to-back innings in a game. And you come up, and in your first series against Atlanta, six hits and three home runs.
Yeah, I had a good series against Atlanta. Wish I could have some more, you know, because that was a good series. But at that point, my mechanics were good. I wasn't chasing much out of the zone, and you know, I was just being the hitter that I could possibly be.
You come up on May 5th, and then you wind up leading the Cardinals in hitting through the month of May, and it hasn't stopped.
No, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm doing some things better this year. And
like what?
Not striking out as much. You know, last year I had a huge strikeout rate. That could be attributed to the vision. Mechanically, my swing is... I'm covering more pitches this year, and I'm covering more parts of the zone. So, you know, it's kind of harder for teams to get me out.
Do you ever feel like you're playing mad, you're playing with a chip on your shoulder, because all you want is the opportunity?
I mean, you need an opportunity in anything you do.
Everybody does.
You know, for me, I'm an intense player in general. You know, that's been with me as a kid. I wouldn't say I'm playing mad. I'm just, you know, I've always been intense and a gamer. That's just me.
And now you're having career highs this season in hits, home runs, RBIs, runs, and stolen bases. Beginning to feel the potential that a lot of people have held out for you for a long time.
No, I've always known my potential. You know, it's just I'm just having more of an opportunity. You know, in 15, I put up good numbers up here. Just, you know, in the small sample size that I was playing in. Last year, I was putting up good numbers before I became just a pinch hitter. You know, I've put up numbers at this level, and I don't think I've gotten credit for that. You know, it's just now I'm playing every day, and, you know, it's opening up more eyes. But, you know, I've always had an 800-plus OPS up here. You know, my numbers have always been and, like, put up everyday numbers, and it's getting overlooked.
But you had said that you'd like this season to end at the major leagues with at least 20 homers, 20 stolen bases, and a 900 OPS.
Yeah, those were personal goals I made for myself. You know, if I could reach those, then, you know, I could look back at the end of the year and say everything that I did last offseason to prepare for this season worked, and I could go from there.
The fact that you're even up here to me is extraordinary, given the fact that you've had this degenerative eye disease that has left you you legally blind in your left eye. What is it that you have, and have you always had it?
No, I haven't always had it. I have keratoconus. For the most part, it's stable. So, you know, it's not getting any worse. And with corrected vision, I'm able to play this game.
Is it difficult to do that?
I would say with the corrected vision, not really.
Let's talk for a moment about how you got here. You had an opportunity to go to Cal State Fullerton, but the Cardinals drafted you. Was that a tough decision for so many kids? It is.
Yeah, I'm kind of made the decision on my own. I was like, you know, let me go ahead and start this pro career right now. And that's what I chose, and that's what I did.
But it wasn't just for your athletic ability. You also got an academic scholarship there.
I mean, I could have had academic scholarships everywhere. I took care of business in high school on the academic side to put myself in a situation where if I needed money for school, that, you know, my grades could take care of it.
What was your favorite subject back in school?
Probably is PE a subject?
I guess.
Yeah, probably that then.
Tell me about some of the jobs that you had during the summertime. I understand you worked, but I heard you had some beauties.
Yeah, I had to work summer jobs. My mom made me and my twin because, she didn't have extra money to kind of buy us school clothes, stuff like that. So, you know, one summer I worked at a car wash. Another summer I worked for a construction company. I was pretty active on that front.
It's hard work.
It was hard work, but you know what? It made me a better person. It made me the person I am today. You know, I've always worked hard for everything I had to accomplish.
A lot of fine lessons in that.
Absolutely. Especially, just on the construction front. You know, both of them are jobs where, you know, you're out there in the scorching Vegas heat, you know, grinding away at hot summer hours. So, I mean,
in Las Vegas, no less.
Yeah, it made me tough.
And it was tough for your mom, who worked so very hard. I know she couldn't get to your games. So when you were playing ball, it was the parents of friends of yours and your neighbors and such who helped to cheer you on because she was so busy working.
Yeah, my teammates, you know, their parents, they always cared for me. And I was always appreciative for that.
I want you to talk, if you would, about Al Ramirez and the importance of him in your life because your dad was not there.
It was mostly another fellow named Todd, Todd Gamboa. You know, he had a little bit more tutelage than Al. He was one of my coaches on that team that him and Al coached together. But it was mostly Todd. He took his own life, though, many years ago. But he was a father figure to me, you know, at those young ages. He was a great guy.
How old were you when he took his life?
I was grown. This was in pro ball. He took his own life. You know, I had to be at least 20, maybe 18, 19, 20, one of those years.
I can't imagine what that must have been like for you when you found out.
It's a cowardless act, man. So life goes on.
Al Ramirez, his son, has also been a good friend to you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of my best friends. We talk weekly, you know. I love him like a brother. You know, he's a brother. I knew my numbers were good enough at this level. I knew there was, you know, if you looked at my numbers and other outfielders' numbers in this league, there wasn't too many people
who could stack up like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, guys would say, "Oh, fourth outfielder this, fourth outfielder that," but there wasn't a fourth outfielder with my numbers in this game. So I didn't understand why I was down.
Why do you think it has been like that? Why has it been so difficult for you when you've had the numbers?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Baseball, with what you have gone through, with your mom working so hard, with your father being away, with you not really having a relationship with him, I guess the game was like, it was an oasis for you. It was an escape.
No, I don't look at it like that, man. God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers, and I'm just one of his strongest soldiers. That's all.
But your self-reliance is really extraordinary.
You know, there's other people. There's more people like me.
Do you ever go speaking to groups or anything like that about your life?
I talk to kids, you know, because...
And what do you tell them?
I tell them to believe in themselves, you know, because there's so many people that doubted me. There's so many naysayers who always doubt you. I'm the one that's telling them that you can. You can do this. You can do that.
Because there were people in your life who told you no.
Yeah. And I just want them to hear that. So, because there's too many people in this world that'll put you down instead of pick you up. And I think, you know, if you could just affect one person out of 100 in a group, you know, you did your job to, you know, because you never know what someone's going through. Especially, you know, and coming up from my background, and I know there's people whose backgrounds who's worse than mine. So if I could tell them they can do this, you know, if they keep their mind right and stay focused, you know, and they believe it, then you never know what, you never know 20 years, 18, 10 years from now, they could be like, you know what, he told me this, he told me that, and he was right, you know, because there's too many people in this world who get directed the wrong way. I'm just trying to help them stay on course.
But your self-reliance is really extraordinary.
It's all right.
The opportunity to finally get to the major leagues, now you're excelling for the first time. In reading about you, I don't ever get the sense there will be a moment where you can relax.
Maybe after the season, if I put up, if I check off some of these goals I have. So, I mean, we'll see. Maybe when I'm on vacation or something, who knows.
What's the best part of being in the major leagues for you?
The opportunity to go out there and compete every day. That satisfies me. I'm a competitor, and I like going out there and competing.
And you set a great example.
Thank you for that.
So that'll do it for Tommy Pham and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.